The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. It would help if I turned the camera on, wouldn't it? All right. What is this? The 55th show? I've done this 55 times. Well, no. The brain doesn't work properly anymore. I'm Jim Peters. Welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. It's 10.02 p.m. here in Minneapolis. It's 11.02 or 8.02 or 2.02, wherever the hell you're at. I don't know. And it's Thursday, November 30th, 2023. Tomorrow, December. Yeah, no guests tonight. No, I did a whole week without guests. Now, here's the real deal. I did a whole week without callers, too, and even that's never happened before. So, amuse me. Call me up, okay? You go to jimandnight.com/call right down here. You see that? See that URL? You go to that URL. Doesn't matter if you're on your phone. Doesn't, you know, desktop, tablet, you know, just go to that URL, push the big blue button at the top of the screen. I bet you'll get in. That's why I bet. Also, if you're looking at this right here, this QR code, if you scan that with your phone, you go directly into our green room for the preview. So, for the virtual studio. So yeah, give me a call. I don't care when, you know, I got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. More than enough stuff. Last night, it was 75 minutes of me blathering on like an idiot. But whatever, you know. People seem to like it. All right, I got three things before we start here. First of all, I'm married to a very powerful woman. She owns her own accounting firm. She's very, very smart. She's done very, very well for herself. I'm proud, and I don't know how the hell she ended up with me. But at any rate, yeah. So, yeah, I'm here. I live with her. And so we have a little game I like to play. So, you know, she works really hard, so she's tired a lot of the time. And I keep telling her, you know, you can get extra power by touching my butt. And like, I know... You know, if she found out I was saying this on the air, she'd probably kill me, but you don't know her. I'm not going to tell you her name or the name of her firm or any of that stuff. I'm not going to tell you. So anyway, today I pulled the same stunt. I said, you know, you can get extra power today by touching my butt. And she said, no, we're not going to do that today because I heard you on a phone call. You mentioned Trump's name. And because of that, no power today. Oh, okay. All right. Fine. That's the liberal world I live in. I keep telling you guys that, you know. It's like, yeah, I mentioned Trump's name. Holy buckets. I'm in the doghouse. Also, there's a debate going on. I think it just ended on Fox News. DeSantis and Newsom governors debated in front of Sean Hannity. I have no idea what happened. I really don't care. Honest to God, I didn't watch this. I don't care what happens. I'll probably hear about it later. Big deal. You know, Monday comes. You know, maybe you watched it. Maybe, you know. I mean, it's basically kind of like, it's like the... It's the race for the second place guys, you know. I mean, Newsom's there just in the offhand chance that Biden dies before the election. And DeSantis is there because he wants to be president, but he's got this giant, giant guy named Bad Orange Man standing in his way. So, you know, I'm sure they'll have a nice talk, whatever, you know. And finally, I do want to address this because, you know, this really pisses the shit out of me. This George Santos guy in Congress, you know, he's up for an expulsion vote. There's only been 6 people who have ever been expelled by Congress by a vote of the body. Only 6, going back 230 years. And he's up, and they should expel his ass. And I don't give a fuck if he's a Republican or not. This guy's just he's a loser. I mean, He lied through his teeth to get into office. Now he's still lying. And I saw some clip on today saying, you know, my positions align perfectly with the current Republican. Oh, fuck you. Really, seriously. You're human garbage. Just get out of there. You know, I don't have any pet. Well, what if the Republicans lose a vote? Well, fucking figure it out. I'm not going to stand for this shit. These people are just another incompetent doofus. I mean, I was going on last night about the fact that people elected to office don't seem to be able to do anything. Well, here's your number one example, you know. I mean, this guy lied through his teeth to get elected. Nothing about his background or his experience turned out to be true. Nothing. I mean, he is the epitome of a charlatan, you know. Get him out of there. That's what I say. It actually really angers me, you know. And, you know, I have my friends say, you know, you're partisan and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, maybe I'm a little partisan, but I'm not totally in the tank. I'm not going to stand. I've told you, I'm not going to stand up here or sit down here in this studio with all these lights going. And we got a lot of lights, man. We finally figured out this this lighting thing here. And you know what it was? More lights. That's what it was. But I'm not gonna. No, I'm gonna call the balls and strikes as I see them. I don't care if he's a Republican or not. I don't give a crap. Get him out of there. So today, what happened in Congress? Michael Schellenberger, Matt Taibbi, journalists, or actually, we're gonna be technical here, I would call Michael Schellenberger an author and Matt Taibbi a journalist. So these are the two guys that basically released the Twitter files, you know, as they were called, after Elon Musk bought the company, and which basically revealed that there was rampant censorship of conservatives on the platform, which Taibbi had figured that out before he actually got a hold of the files. Now, the real important thing here is Taibbi is a hardcore liberal, but he's also a first-class journalist. Because he said people are being censored and censorship is wrong, and he's right. It is. It doesn't matter who's being censored, you know. So Dan Gordon, the congressman from New York, he's in the committee asking Taibbi questions, and I don't believe this. So, you know, there's something came up of how many posts by conservatives were being deleted, and it was like 35%. Well, he said, well, there you go. 65% of them weren't. So 35% censorship is totally fine? It's like, what the hell? I mean, it's like the guy just made an ass out of himself, and he's a lawyer. It's like, what the hell, you know? So, I mean, I really got a hand at Taibbi. Taibbi's on, he's on Laura Ingraham, which I usually don't watch, but I happen to see tonight. She said the same. I knew that too. He's a classic hardcore liberal in terms of policy or, you know, philosophy of life. I probably don't agree with him on hardly anything, but he's standing up. He's doing the right thing. You know, censorship is censorship. You got to get this is bullshit. And so speaking of bullshit, if you saw the title of the show today, it's What is Misinformation? And this blends in really well to this. So I had a couple of friends of mine, you know, they're talking, and like one says, you know, he said, you know, I got this thing run at the top of the show. It says King Conspiracies, all based on the UFO bit. Well, I'm actually going to get to it in this segment here. And he says, I suppose you thought the moon landing was fake too. And I said, no, the moon landing was not fake because we launched the Saturn V rocket into space. And once you do that, that's 3/4 of the expense. I mean, there's no reason you shouldn't go if you're going to do that. And thousands of people saw that happen. So we know that happened. So, you know, and then the hardcore conspiracy theorists on this thing will say, well, they parked in orbit and then they, in some studio in Arizona, wherever it is, they actually showed the pictures of them on the moon, you know, right. No, why would you do that? I mean, you know, there's another theory, an alternate theory, which makes a lot more sense. That's kind of the opposite. And that is, there's been rumors going around that that entire crew actually went up to the moon a month early to make absolutely certain they could do it. And they didn't tell anybody. Now, that actually makes sense. Because, you know, you don't want to fuck that up, especially in front of the Russians. And you certainly don't want, on your very first try of landing on the moon, you don't want to strand astronauts. There's that, too. You don't want to kill people. I mean, it would have been disastrous if people had died on that very first trip. It would have just been awful. I mean, the national psyche would have just been shattered. So that actually makes some sense. I have no idea if they actually did that or not. It's just a rumor. But yeah, okay, you can see that. But the thing is, if you're going to launch a Saturn V rocket, I mean, it was like a $1 billion in 1968 was a shitload of money. It was probably the rough equivalent to $10 billion today, you know. So they're launching this rocket. And, you know, everyone at Cape Canaveral, then it was Cape Kennedy, saw it. People, I mean, you don't fake that. You don't get a David Copperfield do-over by, you know, faking the launching of a rocket. You don't. So, you know, it went up. And like I said, that's three quarters of the expense of going to the moon right there. So if you're going to do that, you might as well go. You know, so another friend of mine says to me, he says, and he's kind of joshing with me. He said, I suppose you thought that the fake Barack Obama's birth certificate too. And I said, no, I know they didn't fake it because there are actually articles in the paper contemporaneously in 1960 that said he was born. Now, I stopped to think about this. That's not actual proof. Now, I know, but first of all, I do want to say, and I put this in the show notes, too. I put this in the description that I don't buy any of this stuff. I don't. But I just, in terms of talking about what misinformation is, all right, if you were going to fake Barack Obama's birth certificate, how would you do it? Okay, first of all, you go down to the courthouse and you have the record changed. That's actually the simple part. But because these things were published in the local paper, how do you fake that? Especially papers that are 50, 60 years old. Well, okay, so here's how you do it. I've never done this before, but I worked in enough newsrooms and stuff to know how this works. There's two places those records are kept. The local library and the actual newspaper office itself. And at this point, they're all on microfilm, all of them. Because that's all they had back then. And, you know, these things have been stored for 50, 60 years. Basically, nobody gives a shit. Nobody looks through this shit anymore. So what you'd have to do is you'd have to find the two microfilm files, reels, that have these things at both those locations and change them. Now, if you have a lot of resources, that's not hard. But the chances of anybody going through that trouble, and especially not getting caught, almost zero. I'm going to give you another example, and that is the Lee Harvey Oswald. Okay, so now I've said on this show before, and we didn't do the JFK show, but I'm still going to do it. Matter of fact, I think I have a guest on. I've lined a guest up to do it. There's two famous photos of Lee Harvey Oswald in his backyard in Dallas holding a copy of the newspaper and the mark. What is it? What was the name of the rifle? The Italian rifle, Carcano, right? The Carcano rifle that he supposedly shot JFK with. In these pictures, there's two separate photographs. They're slightly different, but they're basically him posing, both of them, and he's standing in the same location. And so he's holding a copy of the newspaper, which used to be. That's a clear giveaway as somebody who's trying to confirm a date, because you can see the date on the newspaper, and his rifle, and that he owned it. Okay, right, fine. Now, here in 2023, and I think this happened like 3 years ago, I think, so roughly 2020, we have now verified that those two pictures are fake, and they were verified via digital analysis. Okay, Oswald's face was stuck on somebody else's body. We know that now. That's been verified. Those pictures are not real. Okay? Now, you go back to 1963. Who had not even the wherewithal, who had the resources to do that? Before digital manipulation came along, roughly 2000, maybe 1990 if you want to stretch it, before that, it was very, very difficult to convincingly fake photographs other than a simple double exposure. It was very difficult. Basically, there's only two entities who would have the money and resources and the equipment to do it: a Hollywood movie studio or the government. That's it. So unless you think some Hollywood movie studio planned the assassination of John F. Kennedy, there's only one other possible entity that could do that. That's the thing. So, I mean, so you're talking about people who went through an enormous amount of trouble to fake evidence after the fact. Also, the other thing is, and this is well known now too, they found in the file at the Dallas Police Department with the photos, they found a photo of just the background. He's standing in front of the stairwell that goes up this outside stairwell that goes through the second floor of his house. They found a picture of that background with nobody standing in front of it. That's a clear giveaway. If you're going to fake the photo, that's exactly what you would need to do it. And so, I mean, all right, these photos are not real. So why would somebody do that if Lee Harvey Oswald actually did the deed? Don't we have enough evidence? Apparently we don't. You know, so you have to plant some. Now, okay, so you can call me a conspiracy theorist, but how do you figure that otherwise? Like I said, they verified the photos are fake. Now, also, if you get online, you will see that I think it was some in England, some college, some university verified, said they were real, but they didn't actually, it's really weird. They didn't actually analyze them. Because the only way you can tell they're fake. Oh dear! We dropped out there. I don't know what the hell happened. The only way you can tell they're fake by comparing them to each other. This gets really tricky on digital manipulation. You know, now and you know, I know a lot of you have done this simply. You know, and now that if you have an iPhone or a Google Pixel phone with AI, it's really easy to do the very very sophisticated stuff. Very easy, but this college they will contradict what I'm saying. But the problem is they're not actually talking about what I'm talking about. That's the problem. And I think somebody had that released as clear misinformation, because people will see this and say, "Well, the photos are real." No, they're not. And as a matter of fact, what they're talking about in that article is not what I'm talking about. That's the thing. But if you don't know anything about photography or digital manipulation, you'd read that article and you say, well, Jim doesn't know what he's talking about. No. And that's a weird thing, too. I've talked about this also. In and of itself, that article is true. I mean, because the argument is in that in the second picture, Oswald, or the person who's posing as Oswald, is standing in a manner that he would lose his balance. Now, I never thought that. I'm looking at the picture. I thought that, although it occurred to me, I thought, no, that's still legit, you know. And they proved that what they proved is that isn't true. That you could stand that way and still not fall over. That's what it has nothing to do with superimposed faces at all. Nothing. But in the process of putting it out, you will go Google that, and then you'll say, well, Jim's nuts. No, Jim isn't nuts. See how this works? So there's another example of this, too. You're talking about your government fucking things up. So Bob Lazar is the guy in 1989 who said he worked at Area 51 and worked on crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. This blew the whole thing open. It's hard to believe, but now you have to remember, in retrospect, in 1989, nobody even knew what Area 51 was. They had done such a good job keeping this secret, nobody, the public did not even know about it at all. So when Lazar told George Knapp, the reporter at the Las Vegas television station, he worked at Area 51, everyone said, what? Huh? And by the way, it's called Area 51 because that's literally the area on a map generated by the military. They cordon off the Nellis Test Fire Range. That's right, which is huge. It's absolutely enormous. The Area 51 is only a small part of it. And so that's why it's called Area 51. So nobody even knew what he was talking about. You know, so he said, I'm working on crash extraterrestrial spacecraft. And he said, well, so where did you graduate from? Now, I should have looked this up before we started the show here. It was Cal Poly and MIT, if I'm right. Those were the two places he said he went to school. Right? God, he's trained as a physicist. Okay. So reporters went to those schools, and there's no record of Robert Lazar attending at either one. And you'd think, well, okay, he's lying. But George Knapp decided he looked into it, and he found dozens of people who went to school with Bob Lazar in both of those places, literally in school in terms of being in class, eating with him in the cafeteria, driving him to and from school, all, you know, that sort of stuff. He was on campus. And unless he had some strange, weird thing about preordaining the fact that he was going to have to fake working at Area 51 15 years later, why you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't. I mean, this is a part of my job where I have to, and this is the entire reason I'm doing this segment here. My point is, like, using the thing about Obama and the things in the newspaper, at some point you have to make an assumption that people are acting in a kosher manner. At some point, like, for example, those things in the newspaper regarding Barack Obama's announcement of his birth, you have to assume they're real. I mean, so, and that's the problem, actually, because the thing is, everybody does, and if you can somehow take advantage of that, you can fool everybody. Now, most people can't and don't, and like in the, like I said, in the terms, like even that, using that specific example, it would be very, very difficult to do. You would have to go find the copies of the newspaper and literally alter them. And then, you know, put them back on the microfilm. And I want to point out, microfilm is no longer a standing technology. So, I mean, it's all obsolete. So you'd have to find the equipment to do it, you know. Now, granted, yeah, somebody probably at the CIA probably has the ability to do this. But would they? Would anybody bother? No. No, they wouldn't. And especially not after the fact. You know, I mean, I'm making an assumption. You know, but the things, we all make these assumptions. The real question is how far or how deep, or actually the opposite, how much on the surface does your assumption go? People assume if they read something in the New York Times that generally it's true. And that's no longer the case. That was true 20 years ago. It's not true now, especially when it comes to political stuff. The New York Times is basically an organ for the Democratic Party, and they will lie through their teeth to promote the Democratic agenda. And my Democratic friends tell me, oh, you're just paranoid. That's just bullshit. No, it isn't. No, and all of us who do this, this thing, little dance I do called conservative commentary, we all know this. I mean, I talk to David Strom and Jazz Shaw about this all the time. You know, we even know who the people are doing it. You know, they don't get a byline, but we know behind the scenes. And you could make, you know, the left will say, well, you know, the conservatives do the same thing. And yeah, we do. And I'll tell you, there are certain conservative news outlets that I don't refer to because generally they have a tendency, if they don't lie, they grossly exaggerate information. And so they're suspect. And I know what they are. I don't read them. I don't. They're right. But I do want to point this out too. The Pew Institute, which is basically the premier journalism research facility in the United States, and also they themselves, because they're reporters. I mean, I'm not. This is a real figure. 90% of all journalists, professional journalists in the United States, identify as liberal. 90%. So even the Pew Institute, with the people there who identify as liberal, even they have said, and this is maybe a year or two old. They did a study and said, yeah, liberal media lies more than conservative media. They said that. So you can look up online. You know, so the question is, you know, I mean, the thing is, I mean, you can really go down a rabbit hole on this stuff, you know. So the getting back to the thing with Bob Lazar, it has been such an important thing for the government in the U.S. to keep the UFO thing covered up, that they basically went through unbelievable lengths to do it, including erasing somebody's academic history, you know? I mean, I don't know. Seriously, I have no idea. That I don't know how exactly you do. I assume you call somebody at the registrar's office at these institutions. You bribe them. I really don't know. You can make the argument, well, you know, we're asking you to do this as a patriotic duty for your country, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. There's another thing about that, too. Speaking of patriotic duty, I've talked about this before. And this you could look up online, too. There's something that happened in the 1970s called Operation Nightingale. And what that was, I think it was 1971 or 2, the CIA paid, they actually went on a list, the 400 most prominent journalists in the United States, and paid them to either not report certain stories or to report them wrong. And some of the amazing thing is some of these journalists, and you have to understand this is pre-Watergate. I mean, trust in the government changed like overnight when it came to Watergate. It's a before and after thing. People before Watergate generally trusted the government. They did. Excuse me. Some of these reporters, some of these journalists were so taken and so flattered by the fact that government had asked them to do this, they even didn't even take the money. It's amazing. 400 of them. So if you stop at the top of that list, almost certainly was Walter Cronkite. So I'm certain he was contacted. And knowing, well, this is what I know about Walter. He was a dyed-in-the-wool communist. The guy was about as far left as you could imagine. And to his credit, nobody ever figured that out. You watch him on the air, nobody ever figured out what his personal leanings were. But the guy was, I mean, he was a leftist to the T, you know. So, you know, if you're government, and then you got Hundley and Brinkley, I mean, we're talking about famous people here, you know. Of course, in the 1970s, print journalism was way more prominent than it is now. So they were paying people to misreport stories. And I'm sure that happened with a lot of the UFO stuff. And people have always told me, okay, so I've been going on for 30 years about the fact that the UFOs are real. How did you know? How did you know? No, it wasn't a feeling. It wasn't any belief. It's not that I think the little green men are real. It's none of that shit. It was government documents. There's been government documents that have been talking about this for 70 years. And then, of course, the other question you get right after that is, well, if that's the case, how come nobody ever reported on it? And I don't have a clue. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if the government stopped it. I don't know if people didn't believe it. I have no idea. But you go to theblackvault.com, this guy named John Greenwald, he's basically made his career out of cataloging government documents through the Freedom of Information Act that have to do with UFOs. There's hundreds of them before like 2017 when this article came out in there's hundreds of them. I talked about this, I think, last week. I'll just mention this again because I know a lot of you don't watch the show every night. I don't know why. There's only one single document I know of that's in the public sphere that actually addresses aliens, per se. That's on the FBI website, the FBI archive. Other than that, none of them talk about aliens. And most of these documents are about, well, what are these things? They're internal memos and military and stuff like that. You know, like a guy named Nathan Twining, he was a general in the 1950s. Oh, actually, I think this was 49, I think he was. He commissioned, he was a general in the Air Force, and he said, well, I'm getting tired of getting these reports, these goddamn reports from my pilots. What are these things flying around? You guys do a study and find out. They did a study over 2 years. So what they determined, they came to two conclusions after studying for 2 years. They're real flying machines. Nobody's imagining shit. These things are actually flying around. They're you know, flesh and blood machines made out of metal, if you want, whatever it is. And two, they didn't know where they were from. And the irony was, last year, 2022, when the Congress came out with their first report on UFOs, they determined two things. They're real flying machines, and we don't know where they're from. Same thing. The same thing. 70, 80 years later, they came to the same result. And when it comes to the UFO thing, there's a theory. And the reason I'm talking about this today is because the Debrief, which is kind of a wonk website for defense contractors and stuff, which I read regularly, they cover this stuff in hard scientific terms. They ran an article about a bill that's going through Congress regarding a UAP, UFO disclosure. What was I going to say? Okay. Hold on. I got to get my... Oh, Jesus. God, I lost my train of thought. Shit. What the hell? Time to take me behind the barn and put me out. Put me down. But anyway, this thing that's coming up on that Congress that's this week, they're, I know what I was going to say now about the fact that there's been, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about, the fact that the government's been covering this up. But there's two schools of thought, and I don't know which one's true about why they're doing that. Some people think it's because the government, because the military and the federal government, people in the government do not think that the public can handle the idea of extraterrestrials existing. I mean, they go back to 1938 and the whole thing with Orson Welles and War of the Worlds, and look what happened. That's actually been exaggerated, but on the East Coast of the U.S., there definitely was some panic, for sure. I mean, that really happened. And they go back to that, and they think, well, it'll ruin religion for a lot of people, all sorts of stuff. There's another school of thought, too, and that is that even though they have these crashed spacecraft, so they know the ETs exist, they don't know where they're from. That they know nothing about them other than the fact they're flying here. So that's an interesting, you'd like to think after so many years you kind of figure that out, but I suppose there's a possibility they haven't. And the military especially doesn't want to look weak. They don't want to say, oh, well, we don't know, we've nothing we can do about it. Yeah, they're just coming around, So that's kind of up in the air. I don't know what the answer to that question is. I just don't. But I brought all this stuff up because I just wanted to point out to you I put it under the guise of misinformation, but it's probably not where it belongs, but about the fact that at some point you have to trust somebody on that's putting out something. You do, because I can drill down, and I got my friends who do this, they do this. I'm a conservative, so I'm evil, they will say, well, where did you get that information? And then I'll, put it out. Like, this is really interesting. A friend of mine called me today, and he said that he heard the show last night. I was talking about the fact there was only 6,500 people in the United States with assets over $100 million. And he said he didn't believe it. So he Googled it, and he said the answer he got was 9,500. And he said he thought that was within he forgave me because he thought that was still within the ballpark. But he was shocked that it was that low. Now, and the thing I told him, as soon as I got off the air last night, I was thinking about this. He didn't have to call me. I'm throwing out these figures. So, I do the show off the top of my head. I mean, I do check some of this stuff ahead of time. I got a little outline here I check, that I go down. But there's nothing scripted here. And so my problem, if I have a problem, and I do, is that I have many problems. You don't want to hear about it. I remember information that's not necessarily wrong, it's right, but it's old. I mean, I stopped to think about that. I don't know when I heard that figure, that it was 65, it might have been 4, 5, 6 years ago. Hell, it might have been 10 years ago. I do not remember, And also, I did mention the fact that in the last 2 years, a number of billionaires in the United States have jumped from 700 to 800 people, more or less. Like I said, that's an estimate that literally changes day to day, depending on the stock market. And so I said, well, people have assets over $100 million, 6,500. And I don't know when I said that, but if it was like 3 or 4 years ago, it would be about 9,500 now, probably. It would probably have gone up to there if you're going to use the same kind of scale as the billionaires, and that's a fault of mine. If I tell you information, does it matter whether it was true in 2008? Does it matter now? I don't know. I hope you'll forgive me for that. Yeah, I think I've been doing some of that stuff. I do. Not good. Not good at all. So moving on, David Strom, a friend of Hot Air, he wrote an article about the fact that a new study proves that prehistoric women were superior hunters to men. Now, this is complete utter bullshit. It is. And the reason I'm including this and the reason he wrote about it is because it's bullshit, is because we are now entering the phase where anybody can get anything published, and if it's published, some people will believe it. And that's the point. That's actually the point. They want you to believe shit that isn't true for whatever whatever their machinations, whatever their manipulative reasons, you know, that people are publishing shit just to convince you. And here's a good example of that. And I was talking about this just a couple nights ago. The war in Israel against Hamas, when that started in October last month, the vast majority of Democrats were supporting Israel. It was pretty much the same number as Republicans. I think it was like 89% or something like that. Excuse me. Where these protests, you're wondering, well, why are they doing all these protests? They're so stupid. They just keep repeating over and over. Because they are trying to wear down the liberal thinking, the Democratic liberals' thinking here, and it appears to be working. The what I saw is that the support for Israel among Democrats has dropped in the last month from 89% to 69%. Only Democrats, not Republicans, not at all. Still way up there, still the same. But yeah, it actually seems to be working. And what happens when if it passes under 50%? What happens then? So today, it's been being the press is reporting, and once again, you know, how much of a grain of salt do you take this with? But let's go under the assumption, because it seems to me it matches a logical narrative that Biden has now basically told the Israelis that he would like them to quit the war. That he wants them a permanent ceasefire, and the reason he would do that is because he's losing voters, especially young people, hand over fist. So, and you know, and unfortunately, I don't put it past these people and that guy who's our president. You know, they won't do the right thing. I mean, you know, my impression is, you got guys like Chuck Schumer and you got guys like Lindsey Graham. You know, people get pissed off at them, even their supporters. But if you're in an office, I think this is the way this works. And that is, sometimes you take a stand of principle, and sometimes, especially if you don't have strong feelings about it, you just do whatever's most politically expedient for you, right? Which is the reason those guys kind of look, they have sometimes looked inconsistent. I mean, Schumer, you know, he's a Jew, and he is totally for Israel. I don't blame him. I don't. He gave an impassioned speech in Congress on the floor of the Senate yesterday or the day before about why we need to continue helping Israel with the war. I totally buy him. And I know. So I'm thinking, you know, for him, that's a stand of principle. He doesn't matter who supports him. I remember hearing Bill Clinton talk about this, but I can't remember what the exact issue was. But he said, he felt so strongly about this issue. He said, I was going to risk my reelection on it. He said, screw it, you know. And these are politically savvy people. But I don't think Joe Biden is capable of that. I don't think he's capable of acting on principle at all. I think they do whatever is politically expedient, period. So he's losing votes to the young crowd. He's going to tell them to stop. He's going to get out. So I don't think it's a good look at all. I don't. If this didn't make the news last night or today at all, which is really, really amazing, there was a huge protest at 30 Rock, at Rockefeller Center, for the lighting of the 30 Rock Christmas tree. And it did not make the news, and they were able to keep that protest out of the actual ceremony. The police, but apparently it got pretty violent. I mean, the police were there, and there was a lot. The police really worked really hard to keep these people from crashing this ceremony, and they succeeded. But you never saw about this on the news. You never saw it, you know. And this, I mean, it's just happening, if not daily, weekly, you know. And it seems to, if from a protester's point of view, it seems to be working. I just find that sad, actually, you know. I mean, Hamas is full of shit. I don't know if they're evil or stupid, and that's a good philosophical argument you can have, because my personal belief is the vast majority of stuff people think is evil is actually intense human stupidity. But then that again, evil, true evil, does exist. That's what I think. I do not think it's an either or thing. I think that it's actually, there's both. I still remember a good friend of mine, worked at the Hennepin County downtown in downtown Minneapolis. She worked in the juvenile detention division. And she, over the course of her career, she had prosecuted thousands of juveniles under the juvenile laws. These are people who did not, you know, rise to adult status to go to court. So they were tried as children, as juveniles. And I still remember her telling me this. She says, you know, Jim, I've processed thousands of these kids, and only one of them, one single one, I still remember, I thought was truly, utterly evil. That's what she told me. She said the rest of them were just stupid dorks, you know, going through life, learning stuff. And she said, I had one kid who I actually thought he was the embodiment of the devil. And I believe her. My personal thing is true evil is rare. Now, let me play. Oh, by the way, and still, call me up. And tell me if you agree with this. Go to jimandknight.com/call. Or you go to jimandknight.com and the top menu, press call in. Here's a little semantic study for you, or challenge. If the Holocaust had not been included, did not happen during World War II, in other words, if World War II had happened, but Hitler had not done the Holocaust, where they killed 6 million people in gas chambers, right? And of course, really, for all practical purposes, nobody found out about that until after the war. There's a few people that knew about it before the war, but either didn't say, or in some cases weren't believed. It's the same thing. Who would do that? You know, who would kill people? You know, to massacre, you know, people didn't believe it. So you can make an argument that actually it would. It didn't happen, you know, in terms of our recognition of it, it didn't happen during the war. It happened afterwards. If you took the Holocaust out of it, is Hitler evil, or is he just some stupid fucker who wanted to take over the world? You know, honest to God, like, what do you, you know, does it make a difference? You know, I don't know. You know, it's, once again, it's the difference between human stupidity and evil. So, you know, I honestly don't know about Hamas. I tend to think they're truly evil. But there's another thing, they got a problem too. These people got a real problem. It sounds like I'm dodging something there. But no, they do. They have a real problem. That is, if they're the epitome of how not to run your life. Now, you yourself, you're a person, right? You know, okay, let's say you get divorced, whatever. Somebody kills your parents. You know, I know that's happened. I know people that's happened to. I interviewed once many years ago on a television program, on public television, I interviewed Chuck Palahniuk. He's the guy who wrote the book Fight Club. And I don't know if you know this about him, but both his, let me see if I got this right. It's something like this anyway. I'm pulling this out of my butt here. But both his father and both his grandparents on his father's side were murdered. And my first question to him was, well, how did this affect your writing? I mean, you know, your writing's kind of dark. And he said, he looked at me and says, what is this, Oprah? I still remember it. They ran this interview on his official fan website for years. I was talking about Hamas. How not to run your life. Let's say your parents get killed, right? And you're consumed with rage. And why wouldn't you? You'd be angry as hell. Well, you could go around, you could spend the rest of your life trying to kill the people who killed your parents. And you would end up wasting your life. It doesn't matter whether you caught them or not, or even succeeded in killing them back. Like, what have you done? You know, there's nothing positive about doing that, which is the reason people always talk about forgiveness. There's a real pragmatic thing to forgiveness, and that is you don't get to live your life. Hamas is totally consumed by their hatred of the Jews, totally. And in the process, what did they do? They did not supply any infrastructure for their citizens at all. They basically use their citizens as human shields. They build their headquarters underneath hospitals. I mean, they do not care about their citizenry at all, because they're so... And it's not even... Maybe it's not even that they don't care. They're just so consumed with killing Jews and eliminating Israel from the map that basically everything else falls to the wayside. Everything. And so, and you know, all right, well, that's not a way to live. And in the meanwhile, the Israelites have built one of the premier civilizations on the planet. You know, they got. I mean, I've never been there. I've always wanted to go. Tel Aviv is apparently one of the great party cities on the planet. If you go there, they have really good parties. And oh, by the way, I just want to point out to you, this is actually Minneapolis I'm in front of here. I should have started using this till December, but that's the Stone Arch Bridge I'm on right now. It's a walk bridge that across Mississippi downtown. It's only a few blocks from here. So I just want to, you know, I want to just bring that up too. You know what? Don't consume your life with rage. Don't. It's easy to do, and it feels good, but at the end of the day, you're the one who gets fucked, not the people you're trying to fuck. All right. So what else we got going on here? Oh, well, you probably saw this. Elon Musk in a seminar, public forum for run by the New York Times, basically told all the advertisers that are bolted out of Twitter to go fuck themselves. That's the exact words he used. He's got fuck you money. He can do that. You know, the people, and I just find this hilarious. Bob Iger, you know, is basically, he's not doing it loudly, but he's schooling Musk about the fact that, you know, he made some sort of anti-Semitic tweet, which Musk says in retrospect is the stupidest single thing he's ever posted in his life, and it probably is. But Iger, Disney, is completely falling apart. Only one movie they released this entire year made a profit. Only one out of, what, 10 or 12? And mostly because of the type of company they run, they don't make a movie for under $100 million. Some of these movies cost $200-$300 million to make. And with one exception, none of them made money. You know, and a lot of people say it's because, you know, there's woke messaging in it. You know, they seem to always like cram some two guys kissing or something like that in every single movie. And if you have kids, that's not the idea. And I think Walt Disney's probably rolling over in his grave. It's like, you know, and the thing is, it was really obtuse, and I could read it, but it barely makes any sense to a normal person. In their annual minutes from their annual meeting, they actually put a paragraph in that basically said, yeah, there's a possibility we're going to continue losing money because the social positioning of our films does not agree with a lot of the public. So they basically admitted it. You know, I mean, it was really, really, you had that weird legalese phrasing. You know, I mean, you can barely get through it. But I read it. That's basically what it said. And, yeah. So he's got a lot of balls. All right. What else? All right, this is the part I'm going to run the bumper, because this is we're going to do part two here. Here we go. Okay, so, this is the part of the show where I do the stuff that's, like, not that important. Although, I have to tell you, I'd like to get somebody in here to kind of talk about sports. I wouldn't mind doing that, you know. I mean, we've tried, when I did these shows previously for my previous employer, they were almost always around politics, and obviously we do politics, but I would like to start branching out on other things. We've had quite a few non-political guests on. I'd like to continue that. And by the way, I did announce this at the top of the show. Next week, Tuesday, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell, columnist for Red State, is going to be on. She's going to be our guest on Tuesday. And Wednesday, we were going to have the debate panel we've had for the previous three times for the last Republican presidential debate. That show we're going to start an hour early. So that will start at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, because the debate ends then. So I just want to point out just a few things here going on that are not particularly important, but interested me. First of all, Fox News ran an article on their website about the fact that Cher doesn't like getting old. She's 77 and she's not enjoying it. You know, and the other thing she said in this article, she says she doesn't particularly like her voice. And that's, you know, I spent the majority of my life as a professional musician. So I'd like to think I know a lot about this. And I've always played this game. Okay, so who are the most, male and female, who are the most important singers of the last generation? Well, it's pretty obvious to me, Elvis and Barbara Streisand. You know, right. So, I mean, those are the two big singers from the last 50 years. And then here's my follow-up question to that. All right, who's the most underrated singers from the last 50 years? And I know, I'll tell you who I think the answer to that question is: Dean Martin and Cher. And mostly because they had such unique voices. Well, that's true of Streisand and Presley too, you know. But Cher has a really, really unique voice. And she says that's, in her mind, that's the problem. She says she sounds like neither a man nor a woman. And yeah, she does have a point. That's true, you know. And so also she said her last big hit, which was now like 28 years ago, was Believe. And she said, well, that song was okay. And she's actually right about that. It was an enormous hit, but it was not like the best thing she's ever done. It wasn't. But I just find that kind of interesting. So she doesn't like her voice, and she doesn't like getting old. Well, welcome to the club, honey. Okay, the other thing, NASA, talking about space, NASA's released today that they have a goal now. They want to build homes on the moon by 2040. And they say they know people are laughing. So that's 18 years from now. But they think they can actually realistically do that. And actually, I do too. Matter of fact, I think the bigger problem is getting people up there to live in them. That's the bigger problem than building them. I mean, it's that, you know, once they're going to get this Artemis thing going, but it's still going to cost a shitload of money to get stuff there. It is. Now, the goal is to start mining the moon so that you can have a outpost that's basically self-sufficient. That's their goal. And there should be enough stuff in the lunar surface to actually, like, pretty much take care of everyone's needs. You could probably start growing stuff and all sorts of stuff like that. But at the beginning, at least, it's getting up there. That's going to be that might be the tough part, not building the homes per se. Okay, here's another thing that was in the news. New study reveals that one out of every four remote workers is sneaking off to have sex while they're apparently working. Now, one out of four. But that's not the part that's not the reason I brought this up. The reason I'm bringing this up is because there was a study done. Now this, okay, once again, this is a few years ago, maybe 5-7 years ago. I don't really know. It was a while back. That said that it was a Gallup poll, if I'm right, that they found out that 75% of all Americans admitted they'd had sex at the office, which I thought was hilarious. And the reason Dave Barry wrote a big, hilarious column about that based on this whole thing. The fact that, yeah, well, why do people in America go to work? We go to work to have sex. Yeah, well, and of course, you're working at home. Of course, you know, what the hell? You know, shit. You get a little time. You need some time to. And finally, this is another thing. I know some backstory on this, too. Another study came out. This was in the Washington Post yesterday about that. The fact that liberals like to be sexually dominated by conservatives, which apparently is really true. It's like the liberals have a thing about they like to be treated masochistically by conservative people. This is not the thing that really amazed me. The thing that amazed me is that I still remember this. I read this about 10 years ago, and I was so shocked by this, I had to go and double check it because I did not believe it. That I read a survey poll about 10 years ago that 75% of all single liberal women want to marry a conservative man. 75%. I wasn't shocked that some of them did. It was the amount. 3 out of 4 say they want to marry a conservative man. And I'm thinking, well, Jesus, you know, it's like, what the hell? Don't you think your philosophy works? And of course it doesn't. I'm living proof of that. I looked around and said, oh my God, you know, I think some of the stuff I think doesn't work, you know? So, and also, I have heard women talk about stuff like this. I just find, I don't know. It's just kind of just nuts. It's amazing, you know. And meanwhile, I got a wife that won't touch my butt. We got a caller. Here we go. It's David.
Jim, how are you?
How you caught me just in time. I was just about to end. That's great. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
You know, I try to let you talk for a while to do your monologue.
Like an hour?
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Yourself?
Excellent. what I wanted to talk to you about, I guess a day or two ago, it came out with this, the Raiders football game with the kid, the little fan of Kansas City.
Yeah, right.
They claimed he was wearing blackface.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean,
it's bullshit.
I saw the little interview with him on Jesse on Fox.
Uh-huh.
Last night. He's 9 years old, the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, he's Native American.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
The sad part is that they filmed him with one side of his face was black.
That's right.
Which is part of the colors of the team.
Right.
And the other side was red. But it's interesting how they played it up like, oh, here's a kid wearing blackface.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad, actually.
Isn't it, though? It's terrible.
That's unbelievable.
It's absolutely terrible. And not only that, first of all, that's how dishonest the media has become. It's unbelievable, you know?
I mean, they said this, the guy, the reporter who reported on it and wrote it and said blackface. I mean, that guy's a joke. They talked about him. They said, well, he went to some nice school and he has a master's degree of journalism. Well, I could say he could stick it in his ass.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That doesn't mean anything. He's still an idiot.
All that means, because I got a stupid master's degree, who gives a shit? All it means is you pass some tests.
I know.
That's all it means. Otherwise, it can't buy you a 10-cent cup of coffee, which you can't find anymore.
Right. Right, and I'm glad you brought this up because I can't bring up everything.
I know that. That story was absolutely disgusting.
It is. Totally.
It's disgusting. And I hope the Kansas City Chiefs say something about it because it was a wonderful interview with Jesse Waters. That's right. The child was there with his father. I mean, they're very, you know, wonderful. You can see it's a wonderful family situation there. And they blasted this kid. That is just. So I hope Kansas City, says something or whatever.
Yeah, and can you imagine a journalist he's picking on a child?
That is so disgraceful. I mean, there's no more to say about it.
No, I know. But David, that's actually the problem. You know, I've been talking about this on these shows about the fact that some of the stuff that's happening is so outrageous, people literally don't believe anyone would do it.
I mean. How desperate are these people?
They're desperate. Well,
I mean,
I do have to tell you, David. I mean, really, a lot of the media is financially is really going to hell. I mean, it's like this is not a good time. I'm talking to a guy I know who owns a bunch of radio stations. You know, I mean, their revenues are dropping 5% every quarter. So you put like 10 quarters of that in a row, and you're out of business. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if I could talk to that reporter, if I could, I said, how disgusting are you to talk that kind of shit?
I
you
don't.
I mean, it's just 100%. It's just sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
It is. There's also the fact that right now people just get attention for saying outrageous shit. You know, if you
and what's the recourse?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, I'm bitching and moaning about the fact the New York Times publishes bullshit on the front page, and then 2 weeks later they'll put a correction on page 67B.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And you know, no one sees it. You know, so I don't know what to tell you.
It's just another example that the journalism industry is bullshit.
Yeah,
I mean, really, it's bullshit. I mean,
it is.
I think perhaps 40, 50 years ago, maybe it was a decent profession, but in my opinion, in today's world, it's when I was going to school, they call bullshit degree like art or some bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So that's the same thing as art. It's kind of bullshit.
Right.
It don't mean nothing. I don't give a shit how much journalism you got. Your industry is bullshit.
Yeah. Millions of Americans are coming to the same conclusion you are, you know.
So, and I wouldn't be proud to say I have a degree in journalism, because that tells me that's not worth shit.
No, it's like a degree in art.
yeah, really.
Or gender studies.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's like the ultimate bullshit.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah.
Hey, you live in San Francisco, so no. Supposedly, what I've heard is that as soon as Chi left, all the homeless people were back on the street. The
same thing. In fact, Tuesday, I had to go see a doctor down at Mission Bay, part of University of California, San Francisco. It's called UCSF.
Yeah.
So I had to go down Hyde Street. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on High Street and you go through part of the Tenderloin. And this was like 7 o'clock in the morning. It's the same bullshit. People hanging out, garbage. It's nothing. It's all back to what it was.
How did they get rid of it for 5 days? You know,
I have no idea. They must have put them in some sort of giant tent or something. I mean, you probably what you could do, I would think, is put all those people in buses,
yeah,
semi trucks, whatever you want. Drive more maybe to Treasure Island.
Yeah.
And keep them there for a couple of days. And then when all these people are gone,
oh, my God. Our government in action.
I have no idea what they did, but I suspect they did something like that. And but what was disrespectful, since I've heard people talk about it, is a people like me, if I, by the way, I already signed my check to pay the property tax, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it says it's due actually on December 10th, so I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
It says if you're one day late, the penalties, you know,
If you're one day late, you get two homeless people on your lawn.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But it's just disrespectful, the honest taxpayers. It's sad, actually.
And you think, well, if they can do this for 5 days, why can't they do it permanently, you know? But no, apparently not.
They don't want to do it.
No, they don't. Just,
it's very simple, because it's not hard to fix. They just don't want to fix it. They want to give the illusion that this city is as wonderful as it was, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. But that's an illusion. That's like an old postcard. It's not the same.
Hey, David, do you think that, you know, there's a lot of people, and you know, this comes down under conspiracy theory, who think that they're deliberately doing this shit basically to cause chaos in society. Do you think there's anything true to that?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you could call it chaos. When you go down Hyde Street, it is chaos.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's sad to see all this. It's terrible. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
You never see any police cars, because the police, they just probably forget it. Who cares? I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's just really sad. As I say, for a taxpayer, it's just absolutely disrespectful.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving? I haven't talked to you since then.
Yeah, it was fine. We went to a restaurant. It was okay. It was nice. Not like mom's cooking, but you know, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
How'd you do?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, same thing. I went over to, actually, went to a friend. My mother's 99 years old. You know that.
Yeah. God bless you. God bless your mother.
She's got a 96-year-old friend. we went to her house.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
That's old woman together, you know. It's like,
that's wonderful. That's absolutely.
I have a
wonderful
friend of mine who says that when he dies, when he wants to come back to his next life, he wants to come back as an old woman.
Yeah, right. Hey, I heard your I listened to your show quite often, actually, but as I said, I don't want to call it too much, because I want other people to call in. It's easy to do. Click. Yeah.
Thank you. It is.
If you don't want to see your face, either click "I don't want no video."
Right.
Or you could put a COVID mask on.
Right. That's right. You could do that too. Yeah.
You know, yeah, whatever. I was going to say, you mentioned the other day it was cold. It was like 10 degrees or something, right?
Yeah, it was. It's warmer today. It was like 43 today. And that's about average for this time of year. But we had a couple of really cold days there. It's like not good.
Right, yeah.
I don't like it.
It started to get a little chilly out here. It's felt like in the high 50s or low 60s. Yeah, it's a little nippy. And like at nighttime, it could get down like the low 50s. So it's chilly, but nothing like your weather.
Hey, David, I just thought of this, and I'm going to mention this right on the air, because I don't really care who hears this. You know, in late January, I'm probably going to be going to San Jose, and we should get together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Give me a couple weeks' notice or something.
Yeah, I haven't actually figured out the days yet either, but I'm probably,
Sure. Absolutely, because I don't talk to too many conservatives, at least people that are sensible.
Yeah, right? Right.
It's sad. It's shocking, actually.
Did you call me sensible?
it's just sad. And you talk occasionally about these protesting people that these young kids hate the Jews. That's terrible, you know.
Isn't it though? I know.
I mean, these kids. I still think either they're not students or they're students and taking journalism, right?
Yeah. No, but you're probably absolutely right about that. That's probably what it is.
And if you look at the type of people they're protesting, there's certain cultures, and other cultures they're not protesting because they're busy taking, science, right?
Yeah.
It's sad, actually.
It's terrible. I mean, did you ever think, and you know, 80 years after the Holocaust, you'd see this much Jew hatred? I mean, I find it unbelievable.
It's absolutely terrible. It's terrible. It's just so disgraceful, you know.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And in fact, I heard, Oakland, because I live. You know, across the bay from Oakland,
right?
Their city council was saying bad.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
That's disgusting. You know, I could say it honestly because I was born in Oakland, so I could say that was my hometown. That's effing disgusting.
It is totally.
But they're a bunch of freaks over there anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, these people, I'm talking like as a class, like they don't seem to have anything going on. I mean, they just reek losers. I mean, it's like, you know. They don't.
Well, Jim, who in the hell would hire him, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. You're right. You're master of the obvious, of course. What am I thinking?
Do you think Donald Trump would hire them to work in his kitchen?
No.
Hotels?
Yeah. No. No.
And I did like your comment when you said you're a Trump guy, which I am too. And he has quirks and all that.
Yeah.
But bottom line, he gets the right shit done.
Right. That's why he has so many.
He's a businessman.
That's why he has so many supporters. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that realize this. Yeah, I don't know a single person, and now including you, I don't know a single person who doesn't think he talks shit half of the time. You know, he does. Yeah.
Look, I don't care.
I don't
He's
either.
What I want done, and he gets it done.
Yeah, right. And I want to thank you for bringing that, because I've been listening to a lot of blowback on that lately. So I appreciate it.
Hey, if anybody in the right mind has stocks, right? You pray for Trump.
Yeah. No.
And there's no bullshit with that.
Right.
There's no bullshit. Look at the numbers. If you look at that's just one thing. And the inflation part. When we go up north of the Sausalito and buy food, like I told you.
Yeah.
The lemon is 99 cents.
Yeah.
That even though the inflation's kind of cooling off. That lemon for 99 cents is not going to go down to 60.
No, it isn't. It's not going to go down.
Prices are not going to go down.
Right. That's right. They aren't. I know.
They never go down. You're trying. You're getting adjusted to it. So cut through the chase. But it's just sad when people say all this stuff about Trump. They don't even know the guy.
No, I don't know him. I got to admit, I don't know.
I don't know him either.
Yeah. All I know is he did a really good job. That's all I know. Right,
but he surrounded himself with the right people for the most part.
Right,
a lot of them were kind of business people.
That's and they know how to do stuff, and that's the reason it went so well.
Because they have to earn the money; they're not given the money. It's a different life.
Right,
it's different. All these people now they're sucking off the government tit.
We hand out so much free money; it's mind boggling. Oh. And I'm not even talking about welfare. It's just like there's so many people scamming money off the government.
Oh,
you know?
I told you the story about maybe 8 years ago. I went down to the Social Security office in Hayward. I just wanted to talk to them about it, but you know, a few things. So I go in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was about, I don't know, maybe 10 o'clock in the morning. So it was about maybe 30 people in the room. Shit, I was the oldest guy in the room. I said to myself, I thought the SS was for old people. Yeah. I mean, I've seen lots of people. I've seen people come in with babies and all that. I said, what the heck? So how much bullshit is that?
Yeah. That's actually, that's kind of unbelievable. The social.
I mean, it's like at that time I was 62. Now I'm 70. I had my birthday a few weeks ago. So I'm an old timer.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, brother. Well, likewise, happy birthday. Does Remember, you're a young man compared to me.
Yeah, that's right. What does it feel like then to be 70?
Well, I'm glad I'm above ground.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, thank you.
You're not in an urn.
Yeah, really. So, but to get Social Security, you can get early Social Security when you turn 62.
Yeah.
So why are all these people in the room? They're like 30 years old, 20s. So what's the scam?
Well, did you find out the answer?
No, I didn't. No, I just went there because I had to talk to the guy about stuff. I didn't ask anybody, but I'm just curious. What do you think the scam is? Kind of scam?
I don't know, but people figured out all sorts of freaking ways to get money out of the government. They just do, you know. People are scamming left and right.
It's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible. But the real thing, David, is that if you're giving away that much free money, it devalues. You know, then we get more inflation. The economy goes to hell.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
The thing that bothers me most about what all this stuff Biden did is how could he put out so much free money and not expect to not get inflation? I mean, it's just a simple economic principle. I mean, and you know, you learn it in Econ 101. And they thought they could bust the, they could, you know, we can get around this, you know. Yeah, no, right, sure. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
They don't care. All they do is what they call it, the tax and spend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what the model is, right?
Or spend and spend, yeah.
Spend and spend. I mean, it's like they just have no concept. And if you talk to them about we need to cut things, boy, they go crazy. Well, I say cut it because there are going to be problems down the road, like you said, the professor, Dr. Sabin, I think.
Yeah, Sabin, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He knows. He's an econ guy.
He knows. That's right. He knows. I know.
And he's a legitimate economist because some economists are lefties.
Yeah.
They know what the truth is, but they won't spit it out because they're a bunch of bullshit.
That guy who writes for the Krugman, who writes for the New York Times, he's nuts. He's just crazy. There's not an economist in America who agrees with him. I mean, it's like, you know, but they found the perfect guy for the New York Times. Shit, you know.
They're probably paying him off. I think a lot of those guys are paid off.
Oh, I do too. I agree.
I think so because econ is there's basic principles in econ. It's similar to 1 + 1 = 2. You can't dispute that, right?
Right.
The same thing with econ. You got principles that are just that's it.
No, there's a lot of people who think it's theory, but it maybe technically it's theory, but there's a lot of shit now. Basically, it's been proven. You know, I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah, and then gasoline out here is still $4.90 to maybe up to $6.
Oh God,
up here,
holy shit!
And that's just what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah, we're paying about $3 here.
Oh God, we paid $3 in years.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
Out here we pay roughly an extra dollar per gallon because of all the extra taxes they put on it.
I know
right
that.
Right out of the gate.
By the way, did you see this thing on Fox News tonight with Newsom and DeSantis? Did you see it?
No. I don't get Fox. To me, it's kind of propaganda now.
Yeah.
So I mean that kind of debates. I would say it's kind of like a show.
Well, of course it is. No, it doesn't accomplish anything. I didn't watch it either for that reason.
First of all, I can't listen to Newsom more than maybe 5 minutes, that's all. Because when he talks, he just talks in circles.
Yeah, he does. I know.
I mean, honestly, if you kind of listen, he doesn't make sense.
No, he doesn't. But he's...
He just talks in circles. It's like a punishment to listen to him. see, remember, my background is math. So it's
facts,
you know, hardcore crap. So you want the, you know, boom, boom kind of thing. He goes in circles and this... I mean, I can't listen more than 5 minutes. Honest to God.
Hey, David,
in his
own way, he's really talented because I don't know if I've ever seen anybody be able to talk so much bullshit so well.
but nothing gets done.
No, of course not. No, he's incapable of doing anything. No, all he's capable of doing is talking in circles. That's all he can.
That's his job, talking
right.
in circles.
That's right. That's what he does. Right, yeah.
And that's what I'd be embarrassed if I was him. When they came here and cleaned up the place, and now these people left and then went back to shit again, if I was him, I'd be embarrassed. That's natural. And as you say, well, we did all this extra work to get this place nice and clean, and then the day we left, it went back to shit again.
Yes.
I would be upset about it. They don't care.
No, I know. You're right. That's more embarrassing than being able to clean it up on 24 hours notice. You cleaned it up, okay, fine, and then you're right. As soon as it left... It went back to shit. It went to hell. It's like
it doesn't care.
No,
it doesn't care. It's just like you work for a company, And you know the big boss is going to come. So they tell you ahead of time, well, the boss is going to come, so we need to clean the floors and stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
So polish everything and all that sort of thing. Here comes the old guy down, walks. Oh, everything's great. As soon as he leaves, she dumped garbage back on the floor. I see it 100 times.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. That's a proper analogy. That's actually correct. That's what
I've
it is.
There. I've seen it. I've seen that with governmental places, and I've seen it with private industry too. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. And the interesting part is they always announce in advance when this guy is going to come down.
Right.
They don't do any unannounced things.
Right.
Because they don't want to see the truth.
Yeah. And is it weird they did it for a Chinaman? I mean, it's like, they're communists. I mean, shit.
Well, but there's obviously the bottom line is there's money involved.
Well, of course, right.
And that's the bottom line. There's a lot of behind the door payoffs.
Hey, David, as a matter of fact, I've had this on my list for a couple of days. I never got around talking about it. Have you heard about this thing about in China? I think it's the Henan province, where banks are failing and people are rioting because they can't get their money.
No, I haven't heard.
Oh, yeah. This has not really made the news during the United States. And the reason I brought it up and the reason I wanted to put it in my monologue is because it's basically, the Chinese, and Sabrins talked about this too. They have a fake economy. It's not really communist. It's not really capitalist. It's just this thing. And they just keep making numbers as it goes along. And it doesn't work. Sooner or later, it doesn't work. So you have thousands of people who lost their money in banks now. And so, and I didn't only know this, but because of COVID, now in China, they can track citizens individually via their cell phones. So if you complain too much, they throw you in jail.
Oh, yeah, throw you in jail. Or you can't find you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, they take care of business.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think about all the crime that we have here. They don't have that over there.
No, they don't. They want to put up with it.
No, they take care of business. In fact, we go every week to Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And there's a fellow there. He works there. I talk to him. I like to talk to people. He's really, really, really good guy. He's from Guatemala.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we talked to him about these people stealing all that stuff. He says, that kind of stuff? No, they don't do that over there because they'll get the machete out.
Yeah, right. That's right.
He told me that. They get the machete and they'll cut your hand.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. You don't see that stuff. But here, you can steal up to $900. So that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, $800, that doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. Meanwhile, when you go to the store and you're paying an extra dollar or $2,
right?
You're paying for it.
I know. I hate it when people say, "Oh, it's a victimless crime. Nobody gets hurt." Bullshit.
What are you talking about?
I know.
The honest person gets screwed.
That's right. Absolutely.
So why the hell I go in there and pay extra for a tube of toothpaste, an extra 50 cents or a buck for that? Because these people are stealing. They don't want to work. They don't want to do any production.
Yeah.
And they cry that they're a victim. That's disrespectful, actually.
Here in Northeast Minneapolis now, at our Target here, they've started to put stuff under, in the locked cases, which I did not think that was going to happen in this neighborhood. I didn't, but it is. So.
Yeah, but the stealing, they'll put them out of business, so they have to do
something. Yeah, I understand, but still, I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did. Yeah.
Obviously, they're stealing.
Yeah, they are. Right. That's right. That's what they want to do it otherwise. So,
in fact, I've heard some stores they'll have the shelves, then they'll have an actual picture frame of the item.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Then you have to call a team member and say, "I want to buy two of those things."
Right. That's so right.
Going to back and get it.
Right. And I know about you. I don't want to talk to people when I'm shopping, so it's not. It's a buzzkill, but. Oh, whatever.
It's terrible. In fact, you got to wait because if like out of the glass cages,
yeah.
If you want something, you got to push the button.
Yeah.
And you got to sit there and wait for some person to come right. and open the door.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? I'm going to say, I don't want to do that bullshit. I'd rather sit on my fat ass Amazon. I'll buy the shit.
No, that's right. That's exactly what's going to happen. I know.
So Amazon's going to be going up.
Yes, right. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know. In fact, I bought my girlfriend some toothpaste. We went to CVS. It's really, really hard to get this Sensodyne. It's one of the flavors.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's hard to find, right?
Uh-huh.
So I told her, let me go to Amazon and see what I can do. There it is. Click, click. The next day, got it.
Done. Yeah, yeah.
I was here with a cup of coffee, right?
Right.
Listening to Tony Bennett in the background. Or whoever else you like. May you rest
yeah, no, Tony Bennett's pretty cool. I took my for her 90th birthday or 95th. I took my mother to see Tony Bennett. Yeah, and you know, I regret this. I could have pulled some strings and probably gotten her backstage to meet him, but I didn't want to bother him. Now I kind of regret it. I mean, she's 99, you know, and he was 90 at the time, so
yes.
They might have had a wonderful time.
Yeah, well, who knows? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
Though. Yeah.
But I was going to also say, you know, once in a while you have the fella from Conk News.
Yeah.
And
Jeff Meyer.
He's on your show, and I see he wears his Conk hat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So what I would think would be nice, reciprocal kind of deal, is on the Conk News website, which on the top right, where he has a little banner for College Fix.
Yeah.
You have a banner underneath, Jim Peters at Night.
Well, actually, it's funny you should mention this.
I'll be honest with you, it would be nice if they did that.
I'm getting together with him next week to talk about some of this stuff, about some cross-promotion stuff. So it's, you're reading our minds.
Well,
yeah.
Remember, I'm older than you.
Yeah, yeah.
because you're a gentleman for having this guy.
Yeah.
And all he wears is that Conk hat, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
So reciprocal. That's good business practice.
Yeah. Yeah, he might end up being, they might end up being one of the first sponsors of the show. So that'll be, and he initiated this, so I will see what happens. So.
Well, that's fine. But irregardless, that's what he should be doing, because as I say, you're giving them free advertising.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's nothing wrong.
Well, I understand it, but you know, free advertising is okay for a while, but at some point you got to say, "Hey,
I got to
pay for the studio time."
Right, of course. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I know you're dipping in your pockets a little bit, which is understandable, but at some point, you know, your pocket's going to have a hole in it.
No, yeah, believe me, I know.
Yeah. Well, So anyway, when you talk to him, you tell him a caller suggested that.
I will do that. Right. He watches this show regularly, and a lot of people do.
He's
but
watching now.
That's the
thing. I sent him an email a couple weeks ago by his other name, and we'll leave it at that. And I didn't hear from this guy.
Oh yeah, interesting.
So
I'll bring that up to him. Yeah.
See, I tell you what was bothersome. Is when people on the podcast or whatever, they'll say, you know, here's my email address, whatever, and you send them something, you never hear from them.
Right, I know, I agree.
I'm not going to use the word fraud, but that's disrespectful.
If
you don't want to hold true to it, don't give out your address.
Right, I know. You know what's even worse is the place people give out, like, their website, and then you go to their website and there's no way to send an email. I mean, there's that too. I run into that regularly, you know. But
I mean, that's just crap, you know.
Yeah,
it just tells you the true feelings of the person.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But yeah, I'll mention that to him. The thing I found, there's a lot of people who watch the show, but they don't watch it all the way through. So you know, So I have no idea. Even if he watched on it, he might have seen this, but.
Well,
no.
that doesn't matter. You got my email.
Right. I won't mention it to him.
I would talk to the guy. I wouldn't be shy with him. Let's do it right.
Yeah, right. I know that. I agree. I'll bring it up to him. I will. I'm going to talk to him soon. So.
So how's your mom feeling?
She's doing good, man. It's like, you know, I know if I told you this, I don't know if I even told the audience some. So we've been trying, my niece and I have been trying to put together this bang up giant 100th birthday party for her, but she doesn't really want it. And I don't know.
Yeah.
At first I told her, just sit down and shut up. We're going to do this, but she's really fighting me on this now. And I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't.
What about like a little surprise party or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, we'd have a little party, but I was talking about a big party, you know,
okay, got it. Yeah.
Like 100 people and the, you know, there's a, She's been on one of the local television stations here in Minneapolis several times. They've done stories on her. And there's there's a reporter there who follows her, and I thought I'd bring him. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so, but she's doing great. She's doing just fine.
Well, that's wonderful.
I hope I can do that well, you know.
Well, we all hope, right?
Well, shit, you'll make it. I mean, God. Honest to God, you look fantastic.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's interesting that when I went to this guy, I have a finger that's giving me problems. I had to get a steroid shot, you know, my finger right here.
Hold it. What was this again? Yeah.
My finger here, it goes like this and it locks.
Uh-huh.
They call it trigger finger. So I had to go there and they gave me a steroid shot.
Uh-huh.
Right here, right? So anyway, so I go see this guy. I never seen him, whatever. He says, "Boy, you look good for your age." What can I say?
Yeah, yeah. Well, can't they? I mean, permanently fix that, or do?
Usually what they start with a steroid injection. Usually that works.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you have to do it again, but if it doesn't, then they do a little operation. But it's like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
Right.
It's not even my dominant hand. I'm right-handed, so it's whatever, right?
Yeah. Well, that's good though. That's cool. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's kind of funny.
Modern medicine is really fucking amazing. It really is.
Well, I tell you what's amazing is the imaging.
Yeah.
Imaging
for sure.
My last job before I retired, I was administrator of the ORs at the VA in San Francisco.
Uh huh.
So I got involved with the whole business operation, how things flowed and all these
different
people, engineering, nursing, doctors, all engineering. But and I was involved in equipment buying. But the amazing part is the imaging that they have. It's unbelievable.
David, one of those MRI machines costs like $5 million, right?
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah.
But like for this neurosurgeon, we needed to buy a couple pieces of equipment. One was a portable CAT scan. I think that was $750,000. Then we bought this. They call it the stealth monitoring system, kind of plugs into it. That was an extra $250,000. But what they could do is they could take a picture of your brain and three dimensions. They could spin it and all that. And
wow.
See depth. It's just unbelievable, unbelievable. And in the ORs, all the monitors are all high def monitors, and. For the urology folks, we were involved in buying scopes where they stick a scope in the body and look at things.
Yeah,
the clarity is unbelievable. You could if you put on a dollar bill and you zoom into the president's eyes, you could damn near see his eyelashes.
Unbelievable.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I've been out of this business for 10 years.
Yeah.
So the imaging's unbelievable.
Yeah, and we're getting to the point where I think. You know, in a few years, basically everybody's going to have a MRI scan for their for the full body for their annual checkup. I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, is there any way they can make my brain dance to Barry White? Do you know?
Well, I don't know.
Instead of just spinning around.
Well, they might do James Brown, maybe. But... right.
All right, David, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Yeah, just talk. Anyway, yeah. Jim, I'll talk to you.
We'll talk. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to come out there. I was actually thinking about doing my show while I was out there, but now I start to think about that today. I'm thinking, nah, might be too complicated. I mean, I got more equipment going on here all the time, so I don't know.
Yeah, but then you have to have a reliable Wi-Fi signal. And
that's right. All that shit.
Then you're out of business, you know?
Right. I know. So
anyway, I wanted to call you. Anyway, so have a nice evening.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, man.
And hope the kid with the little painted face, hope things are okay, because that was absolutely disrespectful.
Yeah, well, maybe you can just sue them for $100 million, and then he'll be really okay, like Nick Sadman, you know?
I guess that website's called Deadspin or something.
Deadspin,
like that.
Yeah, right.
I've listened to some sports guys, and they know about it. I guess it's a sports website.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yes, it is. I've followed it for a long time. Yeah.
So I hope they hurt him bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do too.
Well, they deserve it. I mean, absolutely beating up on a kid. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
No, I know it's terrible. Jesus. I totally agree with you completely.
Yeah, they ought to throw him in the ring with Dana White. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. That's right.
Dana, give him a little education.
Yeah, Yeah.
All right, Jim, I'll let you go because I know it's getting late. But anyway, I'll talk to you soon.
You take care. All right, I'll see you.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for calling. I really appreciate
it. Yes, sir.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's David from San Francisco, regular caller. Now, did you hear him? He said it's really easy to call in, and it is. So in the future, I mean, we're done for tonight, but in the future, yeah, you should do that. You should call up. Really appreciate it a lot. Love to talk to that guy. So it's Thursday. We don't do a Friday show here, so I will see you on Monday, and it's going to be December then. So once again, next Tuesday, not Monday, but Tuesday, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell will be on. Wednesday, we're going to do the debate night panel that we've done the last three times. Now, supposedly, Trump is going to show up at this debate. That's the rumor. Nothing's been confirmed. But we know that because the Secret Service has been casing out the venue. And he's the only one right now with Secret Service detail. So that's why people are thinking that. So anyway, we'll find out, though. That's Wednesday night. A panel will be Jeff Meyer, the guy David was talking about, the CEO of Kong News, our own presidential candidate, Tim Conaway, and Don Zorro, who works for some mysterious intelligence agency that we do not know about. I think he goes over the Middle East and kills people. I think that's what his job is. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, that's the panel. And so I hope you guys have a good weekend. I'm planning on having a good weekend. This has been an interesting week. Now, before David called here, not only did we do a whole week without guests, we did a whole week without callers, too. So I'm actually glad that David called because now we busted that. So it's like we finally got snow here in November. Okay, so I'll see you. Thanks for watching. Really appreciate it. If you're on Rumble, please follow us. We cracked 890 today. We've been pushing 900 people, but haven't seemed to be able to quite get over the threshold there. So if you give us a follow on Rumble, I'd really appreciate that a lot. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie, and good night to you wherever you are. Have a nice weekend.